Well, good morning and welcome to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here on this Thursday, beautiful Thursday morning. And we have got a jam-packed show today. We're going to start with the speech from the throne, which, of course, was given yesterday at the legislature. I've got Premier Scott Moe joining me shortly. NDP leader Carla Beck joining us at 9 o'clock for her assessment as well. And we'll open up the phone lines for your thoughts. Also today, president of the Canadian Nuclear Association. We've got a resident from Ukraine joining us with an account of what daily life in that country is like. A former Major League Baseball pitcher who at one time was on the roster for both the Jays and the Mariners, born and raised in Saskatchewan, Andrew Albers, joining us later on the show. And another Saskatchewan professional, an auto body professional who was part of the hit TV show Lost Car Rescue. We've got a full show. I'm looking forward to it. Let's get going today with our big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, the throne speech was handed down yesterday afternoon, which, as we've talked about on the show even as recently as yesterday, is a very good indication, a bit of a blueprint of what's coming up, and usually a foreshadowing not only of legislation, but of budget priorities as well. I'm happy to say we've got Premier Scott Moe joining us on the line this morning live. Premier Moe, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, thank you, Evan, and please say hello to Saskatchewan's greatest baseball pitcher, Andrew Albers, when he comes
yes,
on. I actually have an Albers jersey from years and years ago when he played with the Twins.
Is that right? Yeah, he's got obviously lots of great stories, and I'm looking forward to his perspective today on the show for sure. Throne speech yesterday, obviously lots of priorities. What are the highlights for you out of yesterday's speech?
Well, I think the overall tone and initiative of the throne speech, when you look at the title, which is strong, safe, secure, a strong economy, safe communities, securing our future in the space of education and healthcare investments. Really, when you look at all of the initiatives that are coming through, whether they be legislative or policy initiatives of the government, they're going to fit into one of those spaces. Predominantly a significant focus on, recovery-oriented system of care services, as well as enforcement to keep our community safe. So strong economy, safe communities, and securing our provincial future.
The Compassionate Care Act, which is something that I've talked about a lot, the ability to step into mandatory treatment, and you specified that this isn't going to be for everybody. This is for a specific group of individuals who need that stabilization help to secure a better future. When will we expect to see details on, because it's going to be the details of how this rolls out that will obviously be important.
Yeah, not only the legislation, but yes, some of the regulation, of which we're still, working with families, with enforcement agencies, police chiefs across the province on, precisely what some of those regulations and how the operability of it will work. But I would say two things on the compassionate care legislation. The first is that it is going to impact a very small number of people that quite likely are facing other criminal charges as well. It's people that are, in danger of harming themselves or harming someone else. Second to that, it is another access point for people to enter a life of recovery, and that is the government's goal, is to open up as many access points into that recovery journey as possible, and to ultimately eradicate these poisonous drugs from our communities in Saskatchewan. That may be aspirational, but it is the goal and the intent of the government to find our way towards that.
How are we doing with voluntary treatment right now? Do we have enough beds, or are we still seeing a waiting list?
No, we need more beds, and we are continuing to invest in more beds. As you know, if you go back through the last few years, we had a target of 150 intensive recovery beds. These aren't the 28-day alcohol recovery program that we traditionally have. We expanded that to 500 beds. We're over 300 of those are up and operating. Unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because the need is there, when we hit 500, we'll likely have to expand that again, and we're going to keep building until everyone has a recovery opportunity, should they choose it, or should they be told that is the where they're going to spend some time. This is the path alongside enforcement and streamlining some of the laws that we have for our enforcement agencies to utilize and to make our community safer, because when we look at you know, people that unfortunately are living without a home. I think the recent Saskatoon study said that over 80% of them were also struggling with addictions. When we look at the crime that we have, the vandalism that we have in our rural and urban centers, largely it is associated with supporting a life of addiction. And so let's remove the addictions to the greatest degree that we can and provide those recovery opportunities and then enforce the law.
I don't want to spend all my time on the public safety stuff because there's a lot of it in there, but there's others I want to get to. But the firearm thing caught my attention. Any details on how that's going to roll out, ensuring firearm owners who have their guns taken as a result of this federal buyback will receive fair compensation?
So first, you won't have them taken in Saskatchewan because you would need a provincial license to go out and gather up guns, and that is currently an unfunded department, that licensing department in the province. So no one will be out taking firearms in Saskatchewan that have been deemed illegal by the federal government. However, the federal government has now chosen to depart from what they did with handguns and criminalize the ownership of certain long guns. And so there may be some folks that want to voluntarily bring their guns in and turn them over to the federal government. And what we're saying is there will have to be an evaluation done on those guns. They'll be run through our ballistics laboratory, and they'll have to be paid for by the federal government before anybody can even voluntarily turn their firearms over. But nobody's licensed in the province, nor will they be in the foreseeable future to come and gather up in any mass way people's firearms.
Okay, I want to shift gears. Let's go to wildfires. I wasn't surprised to see it in the speech from the throne. However, most of what I see in there is more about compensation for communities that are rebuilding. Any thoughts, or should we be focusing our efforts on wildfire management, basically preventing a replica of this year's wildfire season from happening?
Yes. And that is the focus, and we're going to get there very quickly. There's really 4 points on our wildfire response this year and what it will look like in the next number of years. First is we need to focus on, as winter approaches, rebuilding and finding homes for individuals that have suffered some of the most extreme loss. And I was up in Dunera Beach a few weeks ago, ensuring that they have a place to stay this year. So rebuilding is important and a priority. Second is we need to continue with the arrival of new planes to expand our wildfire response. Third, we're going to review not only that, but review our evacuation initiatives and policies here in the province to ensure that we're offering the best service when that is necessary, and it is unfortunately from year to year. And I would say that one of the most important things that we have, and it's this work is starting, in fact, Minister McLeod had written a letter yesterday to the federal minister, is to let's aggressively look at fire smarting our communities with fire lines, fire breaks, wet lines put out on those fire breaks, sprinklers that are permanently put up in our communities. We saw this in Wadden Bay, who had faced a fire head on in 2015, almost lost their community, had done an excellent job within the community of fire smarting that community, took a head on hit with the fire this summer with very minimal loss. And so we need to be very ambitious, and we are going to be very ambitious partnering with communities and hopefully the federal government. Talked with Minister Belanger about this, about, you know, fire smarting our communities in an ambitious and aggressive way so that we can protect them should we be faced with something as tragic as what we saw this last year.
Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe is my guest. So healthcare is something that I'm not sure we go a week without talking about it in some way, shape or form on this show. We are still hearing from everything from patients to nursing staff, hospital professionals about the challenges that we have, whether it's got to do with space or wait times. I know there's a big segment of the throne speech that deals with healthcare. Is there anything that we need to do? Do we need more of a shakeup, Premier, to try and get things back on track? Or is this just have to be a patient approach to gradually getting us to be where we need to go?
First, I'd say thank you to all of those healthcare workers wherever they are offering services in this province. They truly, doing a wonderful work. I think on behalf of their friends, family, and community members, and at times having their voice heard, and that is good. Second, if the solutions were simple and easy, they would have been found by some provinces. province in Canada thus far. The fact is the solutions are more people and more people across Canada, not just in Saskatchewan. And so we continue to invest in our health human resource plan, continue to invest in new ways of delivering care, like our urgent care centers, virtual health care with a partnership with Whitecap, Dakota Cree Nation, or First Nation, pardon me, and are going to continue down that path to ensure that everyone in this province does have access to a primary health care provider and a timely surgery. We have targets in that space. We have investment in that space. And I hope now we're going to be able to work much closer with whether it be the collective bargaining units, the regulatory bodies, on ensuring that everyone in this province is working to the maximum scope of service, not only what we currently have in Saskatchewan, but starting to mirror some of the maximum scopes of service for healthcare providers across the nation. There's no reason why, whether it be a pharmacist, a chiropractor, a nurse practitioner, can do some things in Alberta or Ontario or Nova Scotia and maybe not be able to do them here. And so we're really going to look at how can we expand our scope of service, expand the number of people that are in our facilities, and use new and innovative ways to open up access for Saskatchewan families so that they can see a primary health care provider sooner rather than later.
Premier Scott Moe is my guest. That one segment talking about the economy. How successful can you be as a provincial government at attracting investment if policies nationally don't provide kind of the same incentive? And we've been talking about and critical of policies specifically in the energy sector, even things with regard to tariffs, those types of things. How much does the work you do provincially hinge on what they do nationally?
Well, I would suggest there's a great example of this in Saskatchewan, where the federal government over the last decade has very much done things that have hindered any investment opportunity, climate certainty for the energy sector. And we've seen a very stagnant, if not even declining, energy investment, energy production, and energy sector here in Saskatchewan, as well as in Alberta over that period of time. Where we've been able to work around some of those federal regulations is in the mining sector in Saskatchewan, where, you know, largely potash mines, copper mines and such are under provincial environmental impact assessments, provincial regulatory process. We've seen the largest investment by the largest mining company in the world at Jansen in that facility, expansions of the existing potash mines that are here. K+S came on in 2018, doubling their production over the next number of years. We see a net zero copper mine coming on in the with foreign mining just outside of Creighton. And so we've seen more investment in the mining sector in Saskatchewan that I would say you've seen across the rest of North America combined. So very much the province can have an impact in providing certainty in this space. However, the federal government can either augment or hinder that impact. And I would say in the space of the energy sector, they very much hindered it. And we're very pleased to see a little bit more of an opportunity for an open conversation about what the future looks like in all of these sectors with a new prime minister. And we're hopeful that we'll be able to find a landing spot on this flawed regulatory process that we have in Canada, in particular as it impacts the energy sector.
There's a short segment in the throne speech about agriculture. I didn't see anything in there about canola tariffs. I know you have been leading the charge on that. Why wasn't that in the throne speech?
Yeah, it was. It was right in the opening paragraph, actually, the second paragraph, and then on page four as well. And it was mentioned five or six times in the first few pages of the speech from the throne. And again, what we need to happen here is for our Prime Minister and President Xi to sit down and work through not only the existing relationship, and that's going to involve removing things like the EV tariffs, which are not a threat to the Canadian automotive industry. The President of the United States is a threat to that industry. And then opening up not only our existing market access for canola, pulses, pork, and seafood, but I would say at that very table, and this is why it's important to be at that negotiating table, is to say, not only are we going to open up the existing access that we have, but let's actually open up additional access so that where we sold you, Saskatchewan's, in Saskatchewan's case, $4.5 billion worth of canola and potash last year, let's start to look at what $8 or $10 billion looks like. And this is how we actually are able to produce more in this province, and we are going to and produce more in the future. And so I see this as a terrible situation currently, but with the right conversations, I'd have faith that our Prime Minister is able to actually turn this into a net positive in the medium term, and that's what I've encouraged them to do.
Premier Scott Moe is my guest. I have NDP leader Carla Beck coming on after 9, and one of the things that we heard from the NDP this week, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, is you have put together the Saskatchewan First Energy Security Strategy and Supply Plan. I walked around, actually, the nuclear conference yesterday in Saskatoon. In your document, you talk about conducting a governance review to determine the optimal provincial structure and mandate of nuclear power ownership, operation, and deployment. NDP signaling this is the selling of the Crown Sask Power. Is that a step towards privatization, or is it due diligence? What is that contained in the document for?
There is no selling of Sask Power, nor any of the other major crowns in this province. We're setting up a regulatory and advisory board to work us through the remainder of the 14-year process that we have before we're actually able to transition to nuclear in this province, and to do so in a very structured way that preserves the jobs that we have, and for example, Estevan, and maybe even in a place like Coronach, and then to expand those nuclear sites across the province in the years ahead. And what we've asked the federal government is to do this in a structured way and an affordable way that provides reliable power, is to extend the opportunities for us to use the current sources of electricity that we have until we're actually able to outbuild this nuclear piece. The NDP have a problem here. By their very own convention, they don't want coal, they don't want nuclear, and the only other option in this province is natural gas, which is becoming very, very expensive in the construction of those facilities and very, very expensive in the operation of those facilities moving forward. And so we have a concrete plan that really puts at the forefront of that plan the affordability of the power that we have, as well as the reliability of our system. So when you turn the lights on, they actually do come on. And you can afford to turn them on. The NDP plan will create less power, but we certainly are going to pay more for it.
Premier Moe, we're going to have to end it there. We've reached the end of our time. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Take care.
Premier Scott Moe, Saskatchewan's Premier. The throne speech, of course, happened yesterday, and we will make room for our chat with NDP leader Carla Beck coming up just after 9 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.